Names are important. When my wife and I were expecting our kids, we spent a lot of time pondering names, thinking about what we would call them. We did try and think about what would go well when we were trying to yell at them, what would sort of be easy. It's all right, I still call all of my kids all their names. I got to run through all of them anyway. But when we were, our main thought was connection to family. For the first two, we didn't know what the gender was going to be. So we always had two first name options for each gender possibility, and then one middle name option for each gender possibility. So it was kind of like a big bracket, you know, as we, well, if this is boy, girl, you know, sort of work our way in. But we really wanted them to have a sense of who were they connected to, where did they come from, and so all of their names carry connections to our family. Our oldest shares my middle name, which you've all heard in great detail how that ended up, but then has my wife's great-grandfather's name. Our middle child has a variant of my brother's name, for his first name, and then for his middle name has my wife's maiden name. And then our daughter has a name that is significant on both sides. Her first name is both my wife's grandmother and my great aunt, and her middle name is both my wife's sister and my great grandmother. And we wanted to be able to sort of tell them who they are and where they came from. And we've got great stories that go along with all of those names. Well, we never also, though, as we went through all of this, we never told our families about what the possibilities were. After the first, they really kind of quit trying to ask us anymore. But we kept them in the dark. And our children were the first to hear their names spoken in their ears right after their birth. I don't think there was necessarily any superstition, but just a recognition that our names do make some sort of claim upon us. They have some power. I mean, my name doesn't come from anywhere in my family, and yet I know what it means. I know that Brian means strong. There have been numerous times that I've thought about that when I'm in particular situations. Wondering, one, maybe why my parents named me that, but then also being able to go, no, really, seriously, you can do this. But the notion that names have power is a notion that reaches far back into antiquity. The ancient world was rife with folks who believed that names have power. Now, if you read a whole lot in sort of fantasy genre fiction, and particularly things around magic, not in Harry Potter, but in other real, a little harder core magic stuff, names are really important. The magician was never supposed to let their name slip, their real name. I recently read Jonathan Stroud, the Amulet of Samarkand, and in it, there's a young, actually, magician apprentice who is somewhat ambitious, and he summons a demon to do some work. And inadvertently, the demon discovers his true birth name. And now the demon has power over the magician. The magician can't punish him if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. So it was just really interesting to read that. But knowing the true name allowed him to hold power over him. And that's what the ancients considered, that names had power. So you're wise if you didn't let others learn your real name so they couldn't hold power over you. And this is where today's gospel lesson gets interesting. Jesus enters Capernaum And on the Sabbath, he teaches at a synagogue. Now, the teaching is special. People are astounded at his teaching. It is teaching with authority. He doesn't teach like a scribe does. Well, so this authority in the midst of the teaching riles up a man with an unclean spirit. Now, considering Mark's gospel, if you look at the whole gospel, when Jesus is out there teaching, we don't get a lot of the content of the teaching. We just get that he's out there teaching. So we don't know exactly what he was teaching in the synagogue that day. But since we were just given a summary a few verses back from last week's lesson, this is just a continuation of Mark's gospel here. Jesus came into the Galilee and he's proclaiming, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." I think it would be a safe assumption that his teaching would coincide with this, that it's rooted in the coming and the drawing near of the kingdom. And what the people marvel at is that they marvel at his authority, right? This authority that is out there. So God is the true and ultimate authority for the people in Judaism. The question, of course, and we have no argument with that, the question then for this crowd becomes, how is that authority mediated? How does it come so that people know of God's authority? Well, for Judaism in that time, the rabbis and the scribes, the learned folk would debate back and forth in the midst of the synagogue. And ultimately, they would vote upon it to kind of say, no, that's right. That's right. Jesus doesn't teach like that. Not in this situation. Jesus simply pronounces. He teaches with authority unlike the scribes. It's not the rabbinic back and forth of questions, and he proclaims. This authoritative word is the word that calls people to follow him, as we saw with the fishermen. It's the word that pronounces healing and exorcism, because Jesus' proclamation is rooted in the kingdom. And the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom is that all of those things will be sent away. And so that aggravates the man who is engulfed by the power of evil. And so the demon-possessed man turns to the power that he knows. He claims Jesus' name in order to hold power over him, to freeze him in his tracks. It's the demon's means of self-defense, trying to keep him, at this Holy One, at bay. But it does not work. Maybe the demon didn't know Jesus' full identity, but maybe he gets it. Jesus just refuses to play by the rules they expect. Jesus, the Holy One of God, simply rebukes and silences the demon by command and then casts him out of the man. Jesus, we have to see, is the kingdom personified. The good news of God that is breaking into this world. Whatever the kingdom is about, he is about. Jesus' presence is the end for all demonic power. And it shows as the demon can muster no defense against him. He is, after all, the Holy One. The one John the Baptist promised will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Not an unclean, an unholy spirit, but the Holy Spirit. And that is important for us. It is in that baptism with the Holy Spirit that we too become part of this proclamation. When we are grafted into the body of Christ, our names become united with God's name. When we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we become God's holy ones, God's saints. That's how the scriptures refer to, in the Greek, to saints, the holy ones. We get saint because it comes then through Latin. But our names become joined with the ultimate name. And we too then may face the questions of the demonic. What have you to do with us? And we may proclaim and teach with the authority that Jesus did. We may declare that the kingdom is breaking into this world. Jesus, after all, doesn't just keep that authority to himself. Later on in Mark, he's going to give that authority to his disciples. A sign that we too, when we're baptized, carry that authority with us as well. So when we declare of the kingdom breaking into this world, we may tell of forgiveness and love and mercy. We only need to watch the news to know that our world, like the man, is engulfed by the power of evil. That's not the way it is supposed to be. It is irreparably broken. But we become part of the destruction of that brokenness in the restoration of the world to God's desire for it. When we speak against the wrong inflicted on people by those who have more power. When we feed those who have nothing to eat. When we pray for our enemies. When we silence words that seek to hurt and divide. When we simply refuse to shrug our shoulders and acquiesce to the way that things work in the world. It's just the way it is. When we refuse to do that, we become part of the kingdom breaking in. And we may do this without fear. Because precisely of our notion of our union with the triune God in the waters of baptism, God's power and authority are final. They will stop the brokenness, even the brokenness of death. And even though the world may react against us, because we are united with God, our names will not simply fade into the past to be long forgotten. Our names will be remembered forever and given new life because of who we are a part of, because of who we are connected to. And we will be raised in the day when the kingdom comes into its fullness. Thanks be to God.